Council. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Light Glue Radio. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and this is the podcast to learn how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, and I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels to build the business of their dreams. Today's episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Academy. That is a three-day live event. The next one, by the way, our seventh, is taking place in Providence, Rhode Island, September 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a marketing and business building event where you will learn exactly how I grew my multiple businesses using what I call my million-dollar platform. Learn more at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. By the way, if you use the coupon code podcast at checkout when you reserve your seat, you'll save $100. Again, that's dreambizacademy.com. Use the coupon code podcast at your registration. Really excited about this week's show. Get to talk to a fellow coach and business growth expert. His name is Carl Gould. Let me briefly introduce Carl, and we'll bring him right on. Carl Gould is a business growth expert who advises organizations to get to the next level. He is an entrepreneur who built three multi-million dollar businesses by the age of 40. His consulting firms have mentored the launch of over 5,000 businesses in 35 countries, and his team of mentor coaches have conducted over 75,000 sessions with entrepreneurs and executives worldwide. He's advised over 100 of the Inc. 500, 5,000 fastest-growing companies. Carl has written 5 books on the subject of business strategy, leadership, and personal growth, and he co-authored Blueprint for Success with Stephen R. Covey and Ken Blanchard. He co-hosts Quit and Get Rich, a weekly radio program, and he's here today to share his thoughts and his insights from working with top companies from around the world. That's a mighty big intro, Carl. I hope you got some smart advice for my listeners today.
Well, thanks, Jim, and I like your style. You started out the session by saying this is another great episode, so like I can't even wait to hear how it's going to come out. This is going to be awesome. But thank
you
for that.
Anything,
I really
you
appreciate
well,
the opportunity.
You're welcome. If you're going to do anything, do it great, for heaven's sakes, you know?
Why not?
Okay. So your latest book is called Biz – well, actually, before I dive in, I get so excited when I talk to folks like you. I want to dive right in. But tell me about your entrepreneurial roots. So I know you mentioned before we went live here, you started early and started some business in college, a la Michael Dell and some others, I guess. But did you have parents who were entrepreneurs, or where did you get your entrepreneurial genes?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I'm not often asked that. I'm one of 10 kids, and I do come from a very entrepreneurial family. Half of my siblings have their own businesses, and you know, when you think about it, only 1 in 15 people even owns a business in the first place. So, you know, to have a 50% hit rate in my family is pretty high. I learned. You know, I learned very early on, work hard, and from half of my siblings and half of my family, work hard for somebody else, and the other half was work hard for yourself, you know, and have your own business. And so I was bit by the entrepreneurial bug very, very early. And what turned out to be, I thought was a real tragedy at the time, was probably the biggest favor I got. There was going to the University of Delaware, a fighting blue hen, going to school for accounting and finance. And my second year in school, I broke my leg pretty badly, and I had to leave school. And I had been doing landscaping throughout high school, so I decided to start my landscaping business because I was 3 months in a full-length cast and then 3 more months learning how to use my leg again. And, you know, funny thing about those student loans, when you're out of school for 6 months, everybody wants to get paid back, you know. So I was paying my own way through school, you know. So this is how you become entrepreneurial. When you're 1 of 10, I announced one day, hey, I want to go to college. Great. Go get a job so you can pay for it. And so I was paying my way through school. And so going back to Delaware just wasn't an option. I, you know, all the grants and the scholarships and the and the loans all run out when you take time off from school, regardless of the reason why. And so I found myself saying, okay, it's time to grow up pretty quickly. And so I started my first business. I was 18 years old, and that's when I got started. I ran that business for 6 years, and then I sold it. Then I started a general contracting, home building, and real estate development company, and I sold that business in 2004. And the business that I have today, I started in 2002, which is my consulting and my advisory company. But I was bitten by the second bug I got bitten by, I guess, was in 1991. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, fell in love with personal development, thought it was great. I was doing life coaching and executive coaching, throughout the 90s and 2000s as a part-time passion. But I hired a business mentor to help me in my business in 1996. And going through that process, I said, this is definitely what I want to do. It was just a revelation. I got so much out of the process. I enjoyed it so much. And I said, you know what? Let me combine my coaching experience with my entrepreneurial background. And so I launched the Seven Stage Advisors, which is the business that I have today.
Well, that's awesome. What made you, when you were I think you said 6 years into your first business, landscaping, what made you think on selling it? I mean, you're probably 24 or so at that point, probably doing pretty well. I mean, you couldn't have been thinking retirement at that point. Did you just get tired of it? Or
no, it's funny because that business doubled every year that I owned it. It was great. The business was really going well. My leg did not heal properly. So this was before the age of orthopedic surgery and all that. So, I mean, if you got the injury today of what I got then, you would have gone in for, arthroscopic surgery, not orthopedic, orthoscopic surgery. And you'd be in a very light, immobilizer, and you'd be walking and doing physical therapy the next day. That's not right. What they did to me. I had torn ligaments, cracked kneecap, chipped bones. They put me in a full length straight leg cast from hip to ankle. And I was there from, right around Christmas all the way through March in that thing. And, when they cut it off, my leg might as well have been a broomstick. It was so stiff. It did not bend at all. And then I spent 3 days a week. I went to physical therapy where they systematically try to bend my leg a little bit more each and every time. It was the most painful thing I've ever gone through in my life. And so that, there is part of my lack of business management skills at the time, because, I started out 18 years old. I know my management was get up and manage to work your ass off for 12 hours a day, and then manage to go do appointments, and then manage to do your books on the weekend. I mean, that's all I knew. So, I my leg had not healed well. I knew I had to go back in for another surgery, and the business was doing really well. And, I'd learned a few things very early in my career about how to sell services at a premium. And I was talking to one of my top competitors who, when I told him what I was charging for the same services he was doing, he looked at me, his jaw dropped, and he says, how in the world are you doing that? I said, well, not only will I tell you, but I'm happy to sell it to you because I'm on my way out. And it took two conversations, a beer over a meal, and it was a done deal. So it was there wasn't a lot of negotiation there, and I had something that was really valuable. So I decided to move on, and I had my sights set on something a little bit bigger, which was getting into more larger scale development.
So when you fast forward to when you started your third business, the one you're doing now, did you realize right away that, you just love to teach and inspire and share your experience and help other people up-level their game? How did that come about? Because, I mean, I've been a coach for a long time, but it wasn't until I started doing my own live events when I'm interacting with an audience and sharing stuff and I'm seeing their faces, right, like not on the phone, but seeing them in the audience, I go, wow, this is really cool. And people are digging this stuff. That's when it kind of hit me that, wow, this is, I was really meant to do this. Did you have a similar experience or?
Well, it wasn't so much that. And I mean, I got started in coaching and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And I remember there I was on one of our job sites and we're building a house and I've got crews of guys working on the house. And I had a phone-based executive coaching client. And I remember saying to the crews, because it was one of these times where I just had to be at the job site. I couldn't get back to the house. So I had to do the call from like that bag phone. Remember those old,
yes.
You know, mobile phones that looked like an Army field phone. And it was like $3 a minute, you know? And there I am conducting this coaching call. And I actually said to the guys, I might be a little longer than 30 minutes. So take an extended lunch. And I remember finishing the call and saying, wait a minute. Did I just stop an entire construction job site so I can spend 15 more minutes inside of my half-built building to do a coaching call? And I thought at that moment, I'm like, I might be in the wrong business. It might be time for me to think about coaching as a full-time business if I'm willing to shut down my entire construction job site so I can conduct this one coaching call. And I thought,
wow.
You know, maybe it's time. You know, and it kind of hit me at that moment, you know, that's probably the work that I should be pursuing.
So how long have you been doing that, Carl?
Well, I've been coaching professionally for 25 years. Well, 26 now, since 1991. But I've, you know, the business that I have today as a full-time business was in 2002 is when I started.
Okay.
So 15 years in now.
Good for you. Yeah, I started about the same time. I started in October 2001, so we're on a similar track there.
How about
now,
that?
In your bio, it said you've helped mentor over 5,000 businesses in 35 countries. Are you out speaking, or how do you get to a number that big?
So interesting. In the early days of becoming a coach, there were no real systems. There's still no licensing, but there's certifications and accreditations and other types of training that you could take. And so I was taking everything. Dale Carnegie leadership, Ken Blanchard situational leadership, Franklin Covey planning. I did a lot of training through Tony Robbins. And I also became accredited as a generalist management consultant and business mentor through the Institute for Independent Business in England. So I went to that program and they had a mentoring program. So you come out, you get mentored by someone who's successful in that area of expertise, and you then they help you presumably get off the ground. Well, since I in that organization, I felt could use an upgrade in their mentoring program. And so with my coaching background, and bearing in mind, in 2002, coaching was not the industry it is today. And there wasn't a lot of systems and there just simply wasn't a lot of people in it. So I had 11 years experience in coaching at that point, which was a lot. You know, it's a lot now because I've been in it for 26 years. But at that point, you know, that was an awful lot of experience. And so I went back to that organization who mentored the launches of businesses. And I said, I have an idea for a mentoring program, and I'd like to be your global mentoring provider. And so I won that engagement and became the exclusive provider of mentoring. And that particular company launched a total of 7,000 consulting businesses, but during my tenure there were about 5,000, and then we've done a couple of thousand outside of that organization also. So so as they were mentoring the launch of these, as they were helping accredit these businesses, we were then mentoring the launch of that business. And so we're very, very familiar with the startup phase of a company, because we really we saw what worked everywhere. and they have operations all over the world. So we were providing mentoring. At one point, we had 80 mentors providing mentoring in 7 or 8 different native languages in 35 countries. So it was at the time the biggest mentoring and the farthest reaching mentoring organization in the world.
Wow. So I want to ask you about your book, Biz Dev Done Right. So Business Development Done Right, short for Demystifying the Sales Process. Chapter 2, you have one called The Missing Link in Your Business Development Plan. Tell me about that.
So interestingly enough, is we, sales is thought of as, you know, some creative guy, Alec Baldwin and Glengarry, Glenn Ross, you know, always be closing coffees for closers, or the auto salesperson, auto used car salesperson who's got all these clever lines and all that. And while some of that's true, I mean, there is creativity and strategy that goes into sales. Sales is very much a process. You know, marketing is the strategy, but sales is the execution of that strategy. Sales is actually very, very tactical. And most people don't like to admit it, but you can script the sales process. Sales processes are very, very predictable. And, you know, if you are very clear about who your buyer is, what you're selling, and what is likely to come up in the conversation, you can script it out really pretty well. And so I learned this, years ago. One of my clients was giving a presentation at a trade association, and it was in New Jersey, and this guy's from Atlanta. So he was up. I said, oh, you're coming to New Jersey. I'll swing by, say hello, you know, and see you in action. How about that? Oh, great idea. So surprise, surprise. I get there, and he's on a panel, and I'm in the back, and I'll never forget because I had a mouthful of food because I was just in the back grabbing a bite to eat, listening to my client speak, and he says, he was asked the question, well, how did you grow your business so fast? And he says, he starts to talk, and then he says, well, my advisor showed me how to do it. Why don't we ask him to come up here and explain it?
Oh, goodness.
So thanks for the warning. And anyway, I was happy to do it. So I went up on the panel, and interestingly enough, I had in my breast pocket, inside my jacket, the 9 steps to any sales funnel and any sales sequence. And this is what I used to train all my clients on. I said, listen, these 9 things happen. I don't care what you sell. I don't care how you sell it, online, offline, retail, to the government, you know, private, public, doesn't matter. These 9 things happen. They happen in this sequence. And if you chunk it down and it can improve on each part of the sequence by 10%, you will double your revenue. That's the way it works. It's simple math. 9 steps, 10% each one, cumulative effect, you double your revenue. No additional resources needed. You don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel. Follow the steps. And so I've been using it with my client. And so I said, so somebody asked me a question and says, well, what's your magic bullet? And I said, well, funny enough, here's the 9 steps that I use. And you could hear a pin drop in the room. And so as I'm pulling the sheet out of my jacket and I'm starting to read, I look up and there's everybody staring at me like, well, come on, what are they? You know? And so I not only did I share that day, but I've used it with my clients, and that's a central part of that second chapter of the book, where we talk about the missing link is that sales is a process. If you follow the steps, it's like a symphony, and the overwhelming majority of the time, your prospects will respond very similarly. There's just not a lot of huge surprise in sales like most people have thought that it is. And so it takes some of the, you know, that's why we call it demystifying the sales process, because it is a process. And if it's scripted, the more it's scripted, the easier it becomes for you to be effective.
That's awesome. Carl, you also wrote a book called The 7 Stages of Small Business Success. And in there you have the success cycle. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So the success cycle is, if you think of of a life cycle of a business, you know, and Michael Gerber talks about infancy and adolescence and maturity, and Ichak Adizes talks about corporate life cycles. And if you think of a life cycle has its infancy, its adolescence, its maturity, but then it peaks and then it has its decline and its death, right? And so we cut the life cycle in half and we said, wait a minute. Entrepreneurial businesses don't like die. Like they don't, you don't see them at the nursing home and you don't see them in assisted living or senior care. They either, they're doing well or at some point they just shut down or they sell off. You know, they don't, it's not, there's the upside and then there's no side. And so we looked at it and said, wait a minute, how often is a company going to live losing money and not doing well? And the reality is it won't. A small business is designed to, you know, fulfill its customers' needs, make money, or it's immediately sold off or shut down. And so we said, look, you could just, you, any business can be successful. There are seven distinct stages that each successful business goes through. Again, it's kind of like the sales process. It's really straightforward. You can't skip a step. And if you follow these steps, if you lay out the kind of the roadmap, seems to get you there each and every time. And so during the 90s, when I was coaching, you know, I was doing coaching for a number of other gurus at the time, and there were minimal systems in the industry. And so I was documenting all the things I was doing with my clients, and I was writing down, they seem to start here, then they seem to go here next, then they seem to go here next. And so I documented all of that and, you know, realized that there are patterns to how businesses grow. And you tack on the success of the 5,000 startups that we mentored the launch of in 35 countries. We had data from all over the world, and we said, this, you know, this is a pattern of, this is a cycle of success. And so I put together that model to show business owners how to go just step by step. And the tagline for that first book is from startup to seven figures in 3 years or less. That's the, you know, that, because that's what our experience was with our clientele.
Wow. So, so you've helped small business owners in all these different countries. Is there a common theme? I mean, you know, in the United States, we hear that, you know, 80% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. Is it similar in other countries, or do we have a monopoly on that kind of statistic?
No, it's a really good question. So first off, we are, with the exception of maybe Australia, the United States is the most entrepreneurial country in the world. Meaning more, a higher percentage of people are owners, business owners in the United States than anywhere else. And, you know, here we're 1 in 15. In other countries, it's less, 1 in 20, 1 in 25. But in Western Europe, Australia, Canada, U.S., we're kind of similar. I got to tell you, it's other than some slight nuances, this is what everybody tells me. So I'm from New Jersey, right? You go anywhere, they say, well, yeah, Carl, that might work in New Jersey, but that doesn't work all the way out here in Pittsburgh or Dallas or Charlotte or Florida. Then it was California. Then it was Canada. Then it was London. Then it was Copenhagen. Then it was Helsinki. Then it was Moscow. Then it was South Africa, and, you know, on and on and on. And everyone used to tell me the same thing. Their number one knee-jerk response is, yeah, but that doesn't work here. It doesn't work here until it works here, and then it works here. You know, in other words, it's all the same. The same challenges. People buy the same. We're wired the same. We might go about it a little bit differently. The main difference that I've noticed is in America, we are willing to be more direct, and we're willing to, you know, either surprise or disappoint somebody to their face, whereas in most other cultures, they would rather not disappoint you to your face, so they won't always be as direct with you. You know, they'll be nice, they'll be polite, and then they'll if they disappoint you, it won't be in front of you. So there is a little bit, you have to kind of read between the lines a little bit more in other cultures. We tend to be a bit more direct here, but as far as business climate, it's always been a hustle game. It always will be a hustle game. And if you can, you know, if you're willing to get up a few minutes earlier than the next guy or gal, and you're willing to put in that little bit of extra effort and then stay a little bit later, you're going to outpace the next one and you're going to win. It's
very, very
there's
cool.
Not a huge difference. Yep.
Wow. It's hard to believe our half hours flew by already. I would love to have you back on the show sometime if our schedules permit. You're a wealth of information. I really, really appreciate your coming on, Carl.
Oh, thanks so much, Jim. Love to come back and spend some more time with your listeners. That would be super.
Cool. How can people learn more about you? I'm sure you got a couple hundred websites. And what would be a good place to send them to?
Well, the easiest and quickest way to go is carlgould.com, C-A-R-L-G-O-U-L-D. So carlgould.com, and that's kind of the gateway to all the things that I do. And my company is 7stageadvisors.com. So the number 7stageadvisors.com. And again, pretty easy to find. So go to one of those spots and just, you know, contact me and we'll figure out a way to help each other out.
Awesome. Carl, thanks a lot, man. Have a great rest of your day and week.
Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special, let's call it another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. Thank you to the Dream Business Academy for sponsoring our show. Again, get $100 off your registration, which is early bird pricing right now, but you get $100 off even that using the coupon code podcast at dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my editor's assistants, all the people in my dream team that helped me do what I do every day, make it look pretty effortless. Couldn't do it without them. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.